sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Oh, what a glorious Sunday it is in Chicago. What a great weekend. Heating up the Chicago area. I saw a sign driving in today. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton here on The Beat. I mean, Shiberia? Question mark or Shiwai?
Well,
thought was creatively kind of
like
corny, but
I like it.
I'll start up.
Cool with it.
People aren't going to like this first comment from me, or at least some people aren't. But listen, if we're going to ruin the planet and we're going to have significant global warming, we might as well enjoy it while we're still here. And this is beautiful, baby. I mean, this is not February. This is definitely, this is not even March. It's borderline. This is like May.
Yeah, it is.
It is May.
And I've seen about, I think, at least 10 people walk down Michigan Ave with some shorts on right now. That's what kind of weather it is. I mean, shorts weather.
I mean, I love you guys, but I'd probably rather be playing tennis outside right now, just for the record.
I'd probably like to be setting up the t-ball
right
outside with my son.
Ooh,
yeah, love you too, though.
Get a little wiffle ball going in the backyard, huh?
Work on that swing, man. Hogue's going to be looking for my son down the line for the White Sox.
I mean, the whole world's out on Michigan Avenue.
Can we draft him yet?
We could.
Someone's got to
do a side deal with me.
Your son has to have a scholarship offer already, right? For something?
Probably to Jackson State already. But we'll keep it there. He's got to prove himself, see if he's got some speed to go to the U. But Jackson State, he can definitely.
Why don't you just have him focus on tennis? Get him into a camp.
He's in tennis right now.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's Monday nights. He's in tennis. And, okay. And the instructor's working on his left hand. But
okay.
You can go to his Twitter account. Check out his video.
What's the Twitter?
At Payton Son, PaytonSon.
Oh, okay.
And how old is he?
4.5.
On Twitter.
How many followers?
Love it.
A little bit over 1,000.
All right. He's on the move.
He's getting
I mean, I want to get in.
How mad would you be if he had more followers than you, Carm?
Give him 3 more years. Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. At the Carm. Give him some love. At the Carm.
Please.
What are we doing today, man?
Well, here's what we're going to start out with. Again, it's Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, and Jared Payton. We're all here in studio today. This is The Beat. And we have a really shortened show. We're only going to 4:30 today. We got Blackhawks hockey. The Hawks are in Buffalo. Judd Surratt's got your pregame at 4:30. So we got a 90-minute show. A lot to cram in here. And I have to start by attacking my man Carm, like usual.
Oh.
Well, I mean, why go any different today?
Bring it on.
It's not really that attack, but I have two items for you.
Okay.
One, I just think that this needs to be admitted on the air.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's just, if you're going to be completely honest, you will admit that you at least were partially somewhat annoyed that you had to drive 2 hours to Madison, Wisconsin last Sunday to do the show.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. What percentage annoyed would you say?
I would say I was 16.8% annoyed. I was mostly happy to go.
Okay.
He sounded happy to go to me.
It was a great show. I listened back to it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, especially like your parts.
Oh, thanks, Adam.
And when JP came out with us.
You were great, too. I'm
okay.
Sure.
At the end of the game.
Yeah.
About 2 hours and 15 minutes after we signed off.
Yeah.
What percentage of you was annoyed that you were still in Madison?
0.0%.
Okay.
Well, here was the thing. So if you're just joining the show this week and you don't remember last Sunday, Northwestern played at Wisconsin, ranked team on the road, top 10 team on the road.
Yes.
No Scotty Lindsey. Cats were coming off a loss to Illinois. It clearly felt like they were going to go up there and get smoked. And so I'm driving up there to go to Hoge's alma mater to do a shortened show to get their heads kicked in and to come on back. Northwestern ends up winning the game. I have an amazing time up there.
You witnessed one of the greatest wins in program history,
yes,
if not the greatest.
Right. So it was my own negativity, my own lack of optimism on where the Cats were at going into last Sunday.
Midway through the first half, how many points did you say the Cats were going to lose by?
When they were down 19-12, I said they'd lose by 30.
Okay.
Wow. And then I left.
And when they were winning by 9 at halftime, was it 9 or 8?
No, I said the first 2 minutes were huge for the second half. Wisconsin scored 10 in a row.
That did happen, yeah.
They're going to lose by 10.
Okay.
And then they won the game. Chris Collins, Gavin Skelly, Scotty Lindsey, who didn't play that game but did play last night, Bryant McIntosh, Vic Law, Derek Pardon, I apologize to all of you. Fantastic. I didn't have a lot of faith last night either. It was real dicey with Rutgers and Welsh Ryan.
He's jumping over what the big issue is. He forgot to pick me up. That's the reason why I wasn't there with you guys, because he didn't pick me up.
Carlos forgot to pick you up.
So I should be upset. But I talked to him on the way down, and he sounded happy. I knew kind of – I knew Northwestern was going to win. So for both of you guys – no, I did.
You did.
No,
Well, here's the thing. I think a lot of people
– JP positivity, I get it.
I had to. No, my wife is a Badger fan.
Yeah.
So I already – I'm cheering for – come on. I'm cheering for the Cats, and I'm like, yeah, this is going to happen. With you two being in the building, I knew it was going to be a moment for both you guys to share together, and that's what it seemed like.
I spent a lot of those 2 hours hyping up the game, saying how big of a game it was, and giving reasons why Northwestern would win. And I don't – I felt like Carm wasn't buying any of it.
I didn't.
I think you thought I was trying to justify the trip the entire show.
Well, I didn't even know. I couldn't even be remotely present to the concept that Northwestern was going to win that basketball game. But, and then we started, we had our little radio booth there. We were in the same booth with Dave Ennett and Joey Meyer. But for whatever reason, I don't know why, Adam Hogue, you wanted to leave the booth and go sit down in an auxiliary media area. So I went with you and sat there, and we're in the corner rather than center court, and Wisconsin goes up 19-12. I'm like, okay, I'm leaving Hogue. And so I went and watched with Ennett.
And the whole game changed right there.
The whole game changed. Yep. And then Hogue shows up to watch the start of the second half. Wisconsin scores 10 in a row. And this was basically the same thing that happened.
I'm surprised Dave didn't throw me out of the booth at that point.
I don't think Dave even knew you were there, but I did. And I'm like, get this guy out of here. Because last year during the Cubs playoffs, it was like the same thing. I had to be away from you. And then, of course.
Just admit it. You don't like me.
None of that was real. And you have no effect of what's going on the court. And it was my own weird insecurities / superstitions all coming together.
All right. Item number two for you.
Yeah.
I missed the show yesterday. I apologize. I'm a longtime listener.
That's okay.
It wasn't part of my Saturday yesterday. I heard from sources that you lost some kind of charger.
I did.
Okay.
I did. Somebody stole my charger.
Phone charger?
No, my MacBook charger. I came in last week with the MacBook charger. Left the studio without it. Came back to get it. Gone. So I chose to blame Dan Long, producer extraordinaire, for stealing it, and he denied it, and I believe him.
That doesn't seem very nice on your part.
No. Again, do not own a MacBook. So
right. Yeah, that makes it.
I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
The guy's got like a Dell.
Yeah.
But he could sell it. He's got friends.
He's stealing MacBook chargers and selling them on the black market.
Anybody, it looks
right. It does not sound like Dan Long to me.
No, it probably wasn't Dan Long. Then I blamed Alan Poppy.
But here's what I want to get back to. Yeah. Okay, because I got a text, I want to say it was Monday, from Dave Ennett.
Yeah.
And it was sent to me and you.
Yeah.
Of us left a cord in the booth in Madison.
Me.
And you wrote back, it's mine. And then he said, okay, I'll put it in your mailbox.
Yeah.
All right. Now, when this was first presented to me earlier today that you had lost a charger, okay, I was thinking it was the same thing. And I was like, this dude has completely lost his mind. He lost the same charger in the same week, or he completely forgot that Dave had it and gave it back to him. It's a different charger.
Yeah.
Okay, but how are you losing two cords in the same week?
Well,
what's wrong with you?
What's going on?
I mean, I have some...
Have some organizational...
Right, well...
He's grinding right now.
You have to understand that, and I know it's hard for you to believe, Adam, and I'm sure for you as well, JP / everyone, I am not perfect, and... And organization is a hot button point for me.
Only one of us here is perfect.
I mean, and
it's Jared Payton.
How about this?
How
about this? I had an appointment on Thursday at 5 o'clock. And meanwhile, it's Thursday at 5 o'clock. I am driving to the gym to go play basketball. I call up somebody who I had forgotten to call back. I call him like, "Hey, John, Mark Carmen, 5 o'clock Thursday. 5 o'clock Thursday."
You freak out mid-voicemail?
Yes. I'm like, okay, forgot about something. Good to talk to you. Gotta go. Then texted this person I was supposed to meet. Be there in 10 minutes. Luckily, I was like within remote range.
Please tell me it was a date.
No, not a date. Not a date. But
that would have been awesome.
I mean, I have these things happen. And I'm working on it. Let it be known, but I'm not perfect.
All right, item number three to start the show. And this has nothing to do with Carm. But it once again goes back to Madison last weekend.
Goodness.
This is how we're starting the show today.
Madison.
This has to do with a game that happened today, though. At the end of Wisconsin beating Maryland today, huge game in the Big Ten, game Wisconsin badly needed, Nigel Hayes dunked the ball with, I think it was 8 seconds left. I actually missed it when it happened, but I got numerous text messages right away. or within 5 minutes of it happening.
I love it.
All right. How did last weekend's game end, Carm?
Northwestern threw down a dunk, Sanjay Lumpkin specifically, as Wisconsin was pressing. The Cats beat the press. Lumpkin goes in and dunks it, and Greg Gard, Wisconsin's head basketball coach, was very upset with the Wildcats.
What are you supposed to do?
So, if Greg Gard is being consistent here, if he's going to be mad about the dunk last week for Northwestern, then is he going to be mad at Nigel Hayes today for doing the exact same thing to Maryland?
He should be.
He should be. Now, let the record show, I have no problem with either dunk.
No.
All right?
They were pressing.
If you're going to be that sensitive over a loss, I mean, I don't even care if there is some kind of like ill will towards it. Stop them.
Yeah.
Stop them. All right? Especially if you're going to press. But the other thing is, have some perspective. All right? That win for Northwestern last weekend was so big. Like Carm said, I think it came off a rebound or a steal, but they right away pressed whoever grabbed the ball, and that person threw it down to Sanjay Lumpkin, who was wide open, and he threw down the dunk. And I think Brian McIntosh said it perfectly after the game. Yeah, okay, it probably wasn't like the perfect thing to do in the situation, but it was a great way to put the dagger in the game, right? Which I completely agree with. And
I just hate it when guys are and head coaches are just so soft. That's not a great. It's just not good leadership. Yeah, man. Hey, we lost. They beat us. He threw down a dunk. Feel the pain. Feel the pain.
And take it back to that locker room. And I love that. Honestly, I'm going to be honest. As an athlete, listen, if you run the score up, I'm going to go back to the locker room, go back that night and think about that and make me work harder the next day. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I just want to know, I mean, is Greg Gard going to be consistent about this? Because his own guy did the same thing that happened last week. So
be interesting what Greg says after the game. And I'd like to apologize to sports fans everywhere for not asking Greg Gard in that post-game press conference. I thought that somebody else was going to. Hey, what was your beef with Sanjay Lumpkin throwing down the dunk? It was clear that you said something to Chris Collins. I couldn't lip read, but it didn't seem very positive.
It was kind of a weird situation because I don't even think they got video of that handshake, and then no one asked a question. So I don't even know if Greg was actually on record complaining about it.
But
trust me, he wasn't happy.
Right, there's cameras everywhere. We all saw it.
Yeah.
Pretty immature.
When we come back, I think I found the most overhyped sporting event there is. Okay? And I'm going to share that with you next. Also, MLB Network ranked the top 100 players in baseball. There's a number, as you can imagine, a lot of Cubs players on the list.
Yes.
There's a few White Sox players as well. There's a couple ex-Sox and Cubs players, recent Sox and Cubs players. And the rankings are certainly interesting. And I want to get your guys' thoughts on, like, for instance, is it possible that Kyle Schwarber is already overrated? Like, is that actually possible? Because it might be. This is The Beat on 720 WGN. All right, back here on The Beat, Adam Hogmar, Carmen, Jared Payton, all here. Shortened show to 4:30 today. Blackhawks hockey coming up. They need a win after losing last night to Edmonton. We'll talk a little bit about that game a little bit later on the show. But also channel flipping last night. It was NBA All-Star Saturday.
Love it. Don't do it. I know what's happening, but don't do it.
Let me start by saying last year was pretty good. That dunk contest last year was a lot of fun to watch. And it was the exception to the rule, though, I think, over what, Carm? You're more of an NBA historian. Over the last 15 years?
There's been some great three-point shootouts. There's been some great slam dunk contests. Vince Carter, Mike back in the day.
But Vince Carter, that was like 98, wasn't it? 98, 99?
2001, I want to say.
All right, that was 16
Still
years ago.
Time ago.
I said 15 years.
How about a little Zach LaVine, a little Aaron Gordon?
I just said last year was awesome.
Okay.
That was the exception to the rule, though, over the last 15 years, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So what do you want? What do y'all want to do?
Last night was terrible.
You want to get rid of the NBA All-Star Game?
No. But here's what I'm saying. I think it's generally understood that All-Star Games are what they are. And even in the NBA, like, no one's playing defense tonight in the NBA All-Star Game.
No.
It's fun. You can watch it. To me, it's not so much about the game. And this is probably the similar event to the dunk contest would be the Home Run Derby in baseball, right? Yes. Like the two non-All-Star, the two non-game All-Star events, okay? And maybe they're both overhyped to some extent. But, like, the Bulls played on Thursday night against Boston, and TNT's already down there with, like, a whole setup. Like, they're treating this like it's the Super Bowl. For, like, it's like a four-day event where, in my opinion, nothing really delivers ever. Like, what event in the All-Star game ever delivers except the slam dunk contest now every once every 15 years?
The Saturday breakfast or the Sunday breakfast with the legends. You got to sneak into the hotel in the city. That's what I recommend for you. Go okay. sneak into the Sunday okay. breakfast. But you're right. You're right. It's people pay.
Like Dwayne Wade's going down there and holding all. I'm not just talking about like what's on camera that you see. Like Dwayne Wade didn't play on Thursday night, and then Friday he's down there like perfectly healthy.
Well, he's
doing all his business events and whatever. I don't really care so much about that as it's just like these players are taking this thing so seriously, and it's just the reward for the fan isn't that great.
All right, can we go back though to the glory days?
Well, I love the glory days.
The glory days. It was, I think, what when you look at the home run derby and you look at the dunk contest back in the day. It, I mean, it is what it is. Is that the stars used to compete, and we're not seeing.
And in
not,
baseball, they used to be on steroids.
We're not seeing the big time stars that we would love to see in the dunk contest. And I think we were spoiled last year with that matchup of going back to back dunk to dunk, which made it entertaining. But for a guy who's watched LeBron James since he's came into the league, I want to see him in a dunk contest. Like if you want to compare yourself to Jordan, okay, with just rings, you also, it should be everything, the whole catalog. Jordan took part in dunk contests, and that dude was bigger than life.
Right, but times change. And
times have changed.
They
what
have.
You do.
Well,
Glenn okay. Robinson the third won the dunk contest.
I understand. So are you saying that...
Are you telling me you're getting hurt, Carm, or something like that?
No, I think that, like, back in the day, Michael would always come out of the All-Star weekend super tired. So do you want, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, do you want LeBron James putting himself through a physical weekend of, let's say they let him do the dunk contest and shoot threes. Hey, LeBron can step back and bury it. Let's put him in this event, that event. Let's have him play on Sunday. I think I get why the big time guys don't do it. I don't know what the answer is. They don't need an answer. They still sell out all these events. People pay huge dough for it.
All right, when we come back, we're going to check in news, and I also want to dive in this top 100 list of MLB players right now from MLB Network. A lot of interesting slots here, especially when it comes to these Cubs players. But my guy Jose Quintana is still underrated somehow, too. It's 720 WGN.
My role right now is going to be, you know, most likely third catcher. I got Wilson and Miggy, and I got to be ready at any time to come in late in the game from left field to maybe come catch or, give those guys a blow. It's not like I'm going to be the everyday starter.
That's Cubs slugger and, what do we call him, utility guy now?
You got to now.
Kyle Schwarber.
It's amazing to start to think about what he's going to be asked to do this season. It's a lot.
So Kyle Schwarber is one of many Cubs players that ended up on MLB Network's Top 100 right now. That's the actual name of the show. It was a five-part series they did this week. It was a great way to get ready for the season. I recorded each one, watched them. Really gives you perspective on, like, you forget sometimes, like, oh, this guy had a good year. He's moving up. Oh, this guy had a really bad year. Couple snubs. Felix Hernandez not even on the top 100, which is crazy to think about, but he wasn't as good last year. Adam Jones not in the top 100.
I'd take Adam Jones.
A lot of people would. Should I do that? I'm going to count it down. I'm not going to do all 100. These are Cubs and Sox players. If you guys have the list in front of you too, if there's a different guy you want to throw out there that's not on either team, go ahead and do so. The first Cub on this list came in at number 87, Addison Russell. Seems fair.
Addison Russell is a top 100 player. That's a beautiful thing. Love him.
Yeah, I think he is, and I also think he shouldn't be, incredibly high. I think 87 sounds about right. Number 85, your new closer, Wade Davis. You okay with that?
That's ridiculous. Well, I think that's a ridiculous ranking just at the start from the standpoint that there's no way that I would take Wade Davis over Addison Russell. I mean, that's not even close. Addison Russell's got 10 times the value of Wade Davis.
True. Yeah.
So I should mention the way they do this, it's their MLB Network research staff that compiles this top 100. It takes into account statistics and advanced metrics from the last three seasons, coupled with things like Pecota projections for this coming season. So it's kind of a mixture of past results and also what they're projected to do going forward. Just for a little bit of context there. But I think in general, I agree with your statement there that Wade Davis, just, you know, in a vacuum, probably should not be ranked higher than Addison Russell. Or at least you look at it and you go, which one would you rather have?
I mean, I don't think the Cubs would trade Addison Russell for three Wade Davises.
Yeah.
I don't think they would.
Right. But I don't think that's really taken into account in this rank. I mean, that's why it's called right now. Like, not 3 years from now, right now.
I get it. Yeah. They've got their numbers, yeah, and their life that they live.
Okay, so talking about right now, though, Jose Quintana, number 77.
Okay.
One of the best pitchers in baseball.
Seems low, I would agree.
And he is ranked number 77. I think this just falls in line with the overwhelming underappreciation of Jose Quintana, because he's not flashy.
Are you taking this personal as a White Sox fan, even though he's probably not going to be a White Sox that much longer?
No, well, no, but I not really. I think the main reason why I have an issue with it at all was I think this goes beyond just some network's ranking of top 100 players. I get the feeling part of the reason why the White Sox haven't traded him yet is I think he's also undervalued in the market.
Ooh, I don't know. That's it. Well, according to the White Sox, clearly they feel that way. Otherwise, right, they would have dealt him. But I think they're also looking at a home run and maybe a double as well, which is cool because you have the luxury to do that with, you know, what you've done with Chris Sale and what you've done with Adam Eaton. I get it.
It's a little scary to me. A little scary. That
what is?
I mean, just to long term, you don't really know with a pitcher. I want to get what I can get for him now and just get in and get out. Something can happen to that arm, and next thing you know, devalue. That scares me.
But like Jose Quintana doesn't concern me as much as Chris Sale long term, like if we're going to talk injury.
Well, don't have to worry about that anymore. Looking good in those Red Sox colors.
All right.
It's fierce.
But this brings me to the next guy.
Who?
Number 72, Kyle Schwarber, who we just heard from coming out of the break.
Okay. Should be top five.
Top five?
I'm kidding.
Do you see who's in the top five?
I love Schwarber. I'm kidding. Go ahead. I agree.
But this is the guy. Look, I love what Kyle Schwarber did last year. We did those Cubs postgame shows, and it was unbelievable how he stepped in at the World Series and did what he did. There's no question about that.
It's phenomenal.
Okay? The guy barely played last year, though.
He didn't exactly play a full season the year before either. But see? I think people look at Kyle Schwarber and they see elite hitter.
But this also takes into account defense, and like that's still a huge question mark.
That is the question mark.
And part of what he did that was so amazing, this is a hard argument to make because it's like he didn't go off in the World Series.
No.
He just did something spectacular because he hadn't played in so long. Like the fact he was even able to get on base was amazing.
Yeah, so the fact that where he is in this list, I think it's...
So I feel like that's getting okay, a little overrated in a grander big picture of the top 100 players in baseball.
Did you not hear Carm? Elite hitter.
Well, he is.
Well, that gets me to this question, because Jose Quintana came in at 77, Kyle Schwarber came in at 72, and this is going to sound hypocritical based on... I'm basically saying Jose Quintana is underrated and Kyle Schwarber's overrated, but I would take that trade right now.
Yeah, you... If the White Sox offered Quintana to the Cubs for Schwarber, you'd make that deal?
I would. But my guess is Rick Hahn would ask for more.
Yes.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
He'd want more.
I don't think the Cubs would do Schwarber for Quintana straight up.
I don't think they would either. I think this is part of the problem with the value being looked at differently from both sides.
Yeah, value for the
But if you White look Sox. At it from the Cubs' perspective, I think there's a very personal tie there between Kyle Schwarber and Theo Epstein, right?
Yes.
And that's going to play into it no matter what. But
when they
Cubs need pitching. They could use Jose Quintana. They could definitely use Jose Quintana. And Schwarber's still in kind of this awkward spot where he's...
It's a weird place. Where is he?
You just won a World Series. I'm not going to say without him because I'm not sure you win if he doesn't come back in the World Series. But most of the season, you got that far without him, right? And he still kind of looks like an American League DH long-term, right?
I mean, I think he's going to be turned into a credible outfielder. Not great, not terrible. He's got a lot of want out there. He's a good athlete, man. I don't think he's obviously not going to cover a ton of ground. Yes, go ahead, JP.
So I got to ask you this Cubs question then. So who's in the outfield?
It's going to be Schwarbs in left, and you're going to have John Jay / Albert Almora in center and Jason Hayward.
And then the Zobrist.
What about
Zobrist? It's going to be a Zobrist-Schwarber situation.
So their worst outfield is going to be Zobrist in right, Hayward in center, and Schwarbs in left. That's a bad outfield. Legit bad outfield.
Wait, who in center in that scenario?
Hayward.
Yeah.
I think Hayward moves. I mean, it could be. There's also going to be times where it'll be Zobrist in right and Schwarber in left, and either Jay or Almora as well.
Well, I think a huge key for the Cubs this year is Almora turning into a real player.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's a huge key. But are you really going to hit on every single prospect? It's kind of ridiculous.
I think they are. That's why I trust in Theo, baby.
It's pretty ridiculous. All right. How about Ben Zobrist coming in at 69?
They didn't hit on Jason Hayward, by the way, although he did give the greatest speech ever.
That wasn't a prospect, though. I'm talking about prospects.
It's still a miss.
Before the show, JP and I were talking about Yoan Moncada.
He better.
And I repeated what I told you last week on this show, that dude better be Chris Bryant.
He has to be.
For the White Sox. But I'm also realistic. I've been through this so many times watching baseball. There's just as good of a chance that he's Byron Buxton, who so far has done nothing for the Twins.
Right.
You know, it's baseball. It's a 50-50 crapshoot over whether or not these guys become any good.
Tell him what you said, though, upstairs. He
better be Chris Bryant. He better be a Hall of Famer. You just traded the best pitcher you've ever had. That dude better be a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
But I'm also well aware that he probably won't be.
Well, there's so much more information, though, out on guys now, right? I mean, these guys... There's so much more video and scouting that go in today. Like back in the day, you'd show up, you'd see him one or two times. This guy's God. Let's draft him. Now they're so well researched. It's a safer bet. Is all I'm saying. I'm not saying there's not a chance that he couldn't be a bust. There obviously is, but it's a safer bet nowadays.
312-981-7200. Cubs and Sox fans, feel free to chime in. Jose Quintana or Kyle Schwarber, who'd you rather have right now? So Zobrist comes in at number 69. I love Zobrist, so that's fine.
That's another thing. I mean, Schwarber or Zobrist? Schwarber. Are you kidding?
Well, you're thinking long-term, though. This is right now.
I'm thinking for this year, Schwarber or Zobrist? Schwarber.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Number 66, Jose Abreu.
I'm surprised the Sox haven't traded Abreu.
I am, too. I also wonder if Abreu's getting a little overrated on this list.
Just a little bit.
I mean... And then your guy, number 62, because I do have a couple former players in here, Dexter Fowler.
Got to get that Dex in there.
That's your dude, Carm.
Dex. You see Dex speaking out about the political aspect of life today?
I did a little bit.
A little bit.
Dex, good for him.
Dex not wild about who's in office, along with a bunch of other players who aren't going to the Super Bowl, along with a bunch of other people
Bowl,
that don't play professional
White House.
Sports. What's that?
You mean White House.
In the White House.
You said Super Bowl.
Did I say Super Bowl?
Yeah,
I said a lot of people from the Super Bowl aren't going, but it's six Patriots aren't going. By the way, there's a lot of people in sports that love the president, too. Let me get that out there, too.
Hey, it is. It's your choice.
That's right.
We need to take a break. The next player on this list, it's going to blow your head off because it almost did me. Because it's completely ridiculous. 720 WGN. All right, continuing on MLB Network's Top 100 right now. This was a list they did this week. We're discussing it because, like, Kyle Schwarber being ranked ahead of Jose Quintana is a little weird to me. But love the potential, obviously. All right. So I said number 61 on this list would maybe blow your head. Adam Eaton.
They love some Adam Eaton, man.
That's twice.
They love him. That is twice that I did not turn my microphone on. I'm not used to this seat. I'm out of myself. Adam Eaton is a valuable commodity more so because of his salary than anything else. So I don't know about that. I hear you, Hogue. I don't know. I don't think
Adam Eaton. How about just ranked ahead of Dexter Fowler?
61?
No. Right?
No.
It's one of the worst lists of all time lists. This list is just...
We talked about that at the beginning? This list is kind of... It's got a lot of Cubs on it, though, you look at
it. Yeah, well, the Cubs are good at baseball.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, though. It's just,
Cubs and Indians led the way. Not surprisingly. But Adam Eaton at number 61, I guess that's why the Nationals gave up what they did. I mean, to me, I have a problem with a leadoff guy that can't steal a base. I mean... How is someone that fast not able to steal base? It drove me insane when he was with the White Sox.
You just don't have any faith. Also, the guy's going to stay healthy. I mean,
can't stay healthy. Can't play center field. The Nationals are going to move him back to center field. To me, that docks him 30 spots on this list.
Yeah, exactly. Remember the guy who we had on this show that said he could beat me in a race? It's not happening.
Remember that?
He was talking.
He was like lost in Nebraska.
Yeah, he was somewhere. And I was telling him I wanted to race him. And he told me that he had more speed than I did. I still don't think so, Carm. I'm going to be honest with you. I know I'm retired, haven't played in a while. I don't think he could beat me.
You would have stolen more bases than he did last year.
I mean, after watching your highlight reel the other day, which was about a month ago now, but it feels like the other day, I will never doubt your speed.
Okay.
I used to think that I could run with you. Nope, not happening. Nowhere close.
Hogue and I raced one time.
And?
For a donut. He beat me, but he hip-checked me into the wall.
Yeah.
Dude still got speed. And he's been playing a lot of basketball.
You lost a race to Hogue? Well, now I want to race you. Let's go.
You couldn't handle me on the court a couple weeks ago. We've already been over that.
I heard that, too.
It was one play. Let's not go crazy.
Yeah, but I've gotten a lot better since that one play. I'm back in shape. My shot's starting to come back.
Neither of us can boast anything after that hoop performance.
It wasn't great.
It was awful.
But my conditioning is so much better now.
Okay.
All right. Let's fly through this thing. Aroldis Chapman comes in at 52. Like him, love him, he's still really good.
Elite closer.
Yes.
Belongs where he's at. Yeah. That's fine with me.
And actually, I skipped one. I'm sorry. Kyle Hendricks at number 59.
It's aggressive play that Hendricks is that far ahead of Quintana. And I know he had a phenomenal year last year. And I know that he, I guess, came closer to winning Cy Young than Quintana has. But I still feel like I got to see more. Which is
Quintana's sample size is much bigger than Hendricks.
Yes.
But Hendricks was amazing last year. I gave that guy all the credit in the world, and I think he deserves to be on this list.
And the fact that people like Kerry Wood and others say, well, you know, you watch him, it's like Greg Maddux, right? I'm like, excuse me? You're Kerry Wood. You're saying that. It's one thing for, like, Tim Kirkchin to say that. You're ridiculous. Well, but for actual, you know, somebody who played the game to say it, that's pretty interesting.
On this show, Ron Darling broke down Hendricks versus Maddux. He was showing like the exact same pitches, the exact same movement on their pitches, the exact same location. They were using video from when Maddux was on the Cubs. It was freaky, man. It was like identical.
Well, and when Maddux was young, people may forget, he threw pretty hard. I mean, he could get it. I mean, he wasn't consistently mid-90s, but he could get it up there if he wanted to.
Yeah.
And at the end of his, I mean, Hendricks is more, barely low 90s.
Yeah, but he probably could rev it up if he needed to.
I
like guys that pitch that way. All right, number 30, Chris Sale. How is Chris Sale 30? Chris Sale's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball.
It's because he's ripping up jerseys.
Well, that's fine. Maybe he's number 99 on the list of clubhouse guys.
Yeah,
but pitcher, top 100 players in the game right now, especially when you factor in, I told you, this factors in projections.
What else?
Chris Sale is about to go from the White Sox, who couldn't hit the ball, couldn't play defense, to the Boston Red Sox, which are loaded. I mean, he might win 30 games this year. I'm not being serious about that, but seriously, when you look at the improvement behind him defensively and offensively,
yes.
I mean, if he doesn't get to 20, that's going to be surprising. By the way, I know I hate win stat too.
Where would he be in your if you had to place him on this list?
I mean, your guy Clayton Kershaw is number 2, and I'm not necessarily saying he should be ahead of Clayton Kershaw, but don't you think Max Scherzer is number 14? I mean, to me, he's in that range of top 15 for sure.
I was going to say he's got to be top 15, if not top 10.
Yeah, I mean, 30 to me is crazy. And here's two guys on the Cubs that are ranked ahead of Chris Sale. And I'm interested to see if you agree with this. But John Lester's number 29 and Jake Arrieta's 28.
I'd take Chris Sale over both of them.
Thank you.
I would too.
Yeah.
And I like Lester too, man.
I like both. I like Lester and Arrieta a lot.
And I'm not a big Chris Sale guy. I mean, I just love his pitching talent. I did not like his attitude in that clubhouse. I thought he was, you know, he's Boston's problem now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you factor all that in with the return that the White Sox were going to get, it was a no-brainer to trade him. But he should be higher than both of those guys. All right, and then Anthony Rizzo at number 16. You think he should be higher?
I think he's all right where he is.
Chris Bryant's number 4.
I mean, people have ranked ahead of Rizzo that I'd rather have Rizzo than Robinson Cano at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have Rizzo than Paul Goldschmidt.
I agree with that too. Paul Goldschmidt's at number 13.
I'd rather have Rizzo than Joey Votto.
Votto's at 10.
Yeah,
not the guy number 9.
I'd take Rizzo over Jose Altuve.
Harper's like underrated at number 9, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, the list is a little bizarre here.
It is a little weird.
It's a little bizarre
list. I didn't make it. I followed it. I thought it was great prep for the baseball season. And as I'm watching this, I'm going, we got to talk about this.
Guys below him, I'd take Madison Bumgarner. If I was drafting a team, I'll take Mad Bum over Rizzo. Yeah, you got to do it. Give me the number. I'd take Chris Sale over Rizzo if I'm drafting a team. Depends what you need. Right?
Yeah.
It's about team need.
That's why I always find the Schwarber Quintana argument between these two teams in town very fascinating, because you talk about needs
both,
right?
Be great for White both Sox, sides.
Yeah, but I also see why the Cubs wouldn't want to do that straight up, and I see why Rick Hahn would want more.
That's
one of those where you're just not going to get to a middle ground.
Cubs have serious attachment issues with Kyle Schwarber. I don't think they'll ever trade Schwarber.
Is that a good thing, by the way?
Probably not.
I mean, it's hard to criticize Theo Epstein for anything.
Never would do it.
But
although, why did they let Travis Wood go? Liked him a lot.
Yeah, you were upset about that this week.
Not a huge deal, but I just didn't get why.
What does it stem from, though, Carm?
The whole
Schwarber, the fascination.
I think that they identified Schwarbs when few people had him drafted that high, so they felt, and they a lot of people thought they were overdrafting and pick him 4 overall. And they've been proven right. I think they're super proud of it. And I think they just love his makeup, actually, more than anything else. It's probably more that than anything. They sat down with him. They love the way he thinks, the way he works, goes about his business. I mean, they love everything about this kid.
Well, I was very impressed with how he handled himself last year and did everything he could up until the very end to contribute in the World Series. And I said it many times back then. I'll say it again. If the Cubs have home field in that World Series, I don't know that they win. Because he was that big of a difference to have him for the extra game in Cleveland was huge.
I agree with you.
There's no question about it.
Guy let off the 10th with a single,
yep,
and pumped his fist at the bench after the Jason Hayward rain delay motivational chat.
312-981-7200.
I'm going to cry.
Feel free to chime in if you want. Also want to touch on what Northwestern has accomplished, a nail biter last night, and Blackhawks Sabres coming up at 4:30. 720 WGM.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Back here on the beat, got another 22 minutes for you going into Blackhawks hockey. An earlier game tonight. The Hawks are out in Buffalo, Patrick Kane's hometown. Jed Surratt's got the pregame 4:30. The puck drops at 5.
Very weird NHL scheduling, right? The 6-day break. You play at Edmonton. You get the time off. And then, like, the Blackhawks, basically like every other team in the NHL, you look at the records of guys coming off or teams coming off the extended break that they've added in, which I, by the way, think is a great idea, tremendous idea, but teams do not play well once they get out of rhythm, and the Hawks didn't look great last night, losing 3-1. But new day today. And by the way, can I just make one more NBA All-Star game point? If you look at the NBA standings, not that it matters, it's not the actual standings, but just add up the amount of games that teams have played right now. They are well past the midway point.
They're like at the three-quarter point.
Right. So why do you wait all the way until February?
Television.
To give guys a break. You're talking about 55 games in, 60 games in. That's almost three-quarters of the season.
Well, you're not going to do it in January. You got NFL playoffs to go up against. I mean, the soonest you could have done it was last weekend.
Well, I mean,
because you're not going to do it up against the Super Bowl.
I think what the NHL is doing is what the NBA should do too. You look at guys as the season goes on, blowing out knees, getting hurt because they don't get a break. You're asking so much for all those dollars. Maybe you start the season a little bit earlier and you build in some time.
Well, it's hard to get mad when like the Cavaliers sit everybody.
And that's the other thing.
Because if that's how you're going to schedule it, then the head coach should have the right to sit all his players, whether it's a nationally televised game or not.
Why not?
And the league doesn't want that, right?
They can't have it both ways.
No.
Exactly. So you got to build in the time. And maybe you move the All-Star game up, and maybe it does compete with the NFL playoffs. I don't know. Not easy solutions, but the NBA All-Star game shouldn't be 55 games in.
So is that factoring into the question that I was posing to you about the stars not playing?
I think it does factor in. The guys are tired. They want the break. I get it. And plus, you know, back in the day, that All-Star game check, it looked pretty cool.
Now it's kind of like...
Yeah. Now, what do I make a year? Oh, yeah, I make $30 million a year. I'm LeBron James.
I don't really have a problem with anybody skipping any All-Star game.
I'm with you.
To be honest. Well, except for if we're still considering the Senior Bowl an All-Star game. Well, that's different. You're trying to get a job. I'm talking about professional All-Star
game. You're more talking skills competition, not actually the actual game. I mean, the NBA All-Star game, players always play. Pro Bowl, different. Baseball, they always play.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you got some nagging injury. Okay, no.
But I what I'm saying is I don't care if they skip the ones. I don't know.
You don't care if they miss the game?
Dude, I didn't want Chris Sale and Jose Quintana pitching in the All-Star game, ever.
That's different.
No.
I agree with you.
Get out of here. Don't pitch. Like, wasn't it 2 years ago when Robin told whoever the manager was, hey, Chris Sale's not pitching? Good for him. That's probably the best move Robin made in 5 years. That's smart.
The greatest moment of Robin Ventura's career. 312-981-7200. Light
him up.
What will you remember about Robin Ventura? And was he actually awake when he was here? I digress.
Hey, Charlie Tilson, little Sox news today. Hurt him, his foot.
Local product. We're going to have him on the show.
Little Kevin Whitish there. Because he, first game, tears his hamstring. That was sad. That was hard to watch. Then he comes back, first workout, hurts his foot.
How are you going to do that to me?
What?
You're just going to throw in a Kevin White there and not talk any football?
That's your football for the show.
Goodness. Man.
You can give a 5 second. Who are they taking number 3 overall, JP?
I mean, as I look through Hogue's mock draft, I don't know. I would say Jonathan Allen probably. I could see them reaching. I don't see them reaching for a quarterback. I just don't see it. As much of a need as it is, I don't know if they pull the trigger on any of these guys, but I think they'll be tempted.
Okay, I don't really care right now, but I want you to feel better about the show. You all right?
But no, I do feel better. But with Hogue, I Kevin White, real quick. I mean,
no idea.
What's long?
How am I supposed to know?
What's long term? Like, you don't.
I mean, they say it's not a problem, but they also said he was going to be back before the end of the season. I don't believe anything they have to say about Kevin White. Why should we? Why should any Bears fan trust what the Bears have to say about Kevin White? There's really no reason to.
I think that's the reason why you have to at least go for, and like you said, Carm, there's not a for sure thing. And yeah, we get to see these guys and scout these guys, but I think you need to go for as much of a sure thing with your first pick after you kind of took projects 2 years before in the first round.
I want a quarterback. Roll the dice. Let's go. Figure it out. Make the right selection.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Fine, if that's what you think it is, trade for Garoppolo.
You're not giving up that one for Garoppolo, though.
No, but here, let me ask you this, JP.
Why not?
If the Browns offer number 12 overall,
okay,
and I don't know if that would be, I guess if they did, and the Bears offered number 3, but they're talking swap in the first round, so then the Bears would also get the Patriots' late first round pick back.
So I
because if you look at the draft chart, which not every team swears by, but the value of the picks, that adds up. Like, that's, well, it sort of adds up. Or would you be okay with moving back in the first and getting Jimmy Garoppolo? In that scenario, are you okay giving up the number three pick?
I don't know with Garoppolo because I just feel like I don't have enough body of work. And I get that if you're going to draft a quarterback in this draft as well, you're going, whether it's Watson, whether it's Kaiser, it's still a risk. It's too much for me, man. As much as I want a quarterback, I really want to build this Bears defense.
Okay.
And I want to figure out a way to do that because I told you guys, every single year I go to the Super Bowl, I watch a team that defensively is able to either figure out ways and get after it. Now, this past Super Bowl, a little bit different, but, you know.
I'll just say this. I spend every day watching at least a little bit of tape on these quarterbacks.
And nothing jumps out.
Jimmy Garoppolo is so much better than any of them.
I get that.
And so the more I look at it, if you're going to use number three on a quarterback, but you're not willing to trade that pick for Jimmy Garoppolo, that makes zero sense to me. The logic there does not make any sense. You're willing to use number three to get Deshaun Kaiser, but you're not willing to trade number three to get a guy who's been playing under Brady for 3 years? That does not add up to me.
But he's the only quarterback Watson is the only quarterback that I would actually, if you were telling me at three that I had to take, I would take him. Only reason why, because all these other guys, I don't know what, I've actually seen this dude in big time games and what he's been able to do. Kaiser, on the other hand, a guy that anytime I watched a big game in Notre Dame, he was non-existent for me. I know he can make the throws, but I want to see you in big-time games. Sorry.
My color gone. You don't care who the next quarterback is.
Well, I don't have the answer. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, Weeds had the story this morning.
Dan Weeder having a nice little one. The last resort. Is it possible that Cutler could still be the Bears quarterback?
Hey, our guy Sam Panionovich texted me this week. He was having some argument, probably over a beer, with a friend. And he said, what are the odds that Cutler's back? I said 35%. And I think that's probably higher than most.
It is higher than most.
Yeah. I think most people would be like 10%, 5%.
I'd say 2%. But there still is a 2%.
35%.
Really?
I still think he's most likely gone, but I think there's a bigger window than most people think to him returning.
Yes.
That's what I'll say.
I know that for a fact.
Well, okay, let's just say, JP, they follow the JP plan, which is they take the best defensive player available.
Jamal Adams.
Jamal, I'm cool. Hey.
Okay, whoever it is.
I'm cool.
Who do you want quarterback in the team next year? Not that next year necessarily matters, but I'm curious who you want to have quarterback in the team.
Are you okay if it's Brian Hoyer?
I'd be okay with Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, but okay, forget about okay. Who are you picking? Are you taking Hoyer? Are you going to take Matt Barkley? Are you going to bring back Jay? Are you going to go outside the box and bring in a guy like Colin Kaepernick who's available?
AJ McCarron?
I've been seeing AJ McCarron's name pop up in certain places.
And I had somebody bring this up to me earlier. AJ McCarron, I think I had a fifth round grade on him coming out of Alabama. I don't have any other hire. It's because someone on Twitter asked if his tweet was, should we, even though he's not part of the team, you know, he did the we thing, should we trade mid-round draft picks for AJ McCarron and a developmental rookie? And in my head I'm going, I don't think I maybe would have used a mid-round pick on AJ McCarron coming out. So, and then what do you... trading draft picks for a developmental rookie for when you that's what you're getting when you, with a mid-round draft pick. It's the same thing. So, it's trade season.
I want an answer. Who's quarterback in the team? Your number one pick.
I think right now it's got to be Brian Hoyer.
That's your pick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's rough. That's rough.
It is rough.
That's rough. Makes me want to say something like Butler beat DePaul 82-66.
You really want
I want to know who you want, and you're telling me
your
you
best
want...
bet might be to have number six still be your quarterback.
Okay, now you're going.
That might be your best bet if honestly, that's what I would probably do. But people in Chicago are going to go crazy.
Three people just threw themselves into the glass. outside the Allstate Showcase.
Jay Cutler might be your best option.
I'm down with losing next year. It's
okay,
fine
then, so then you go ahead and have Hoyer.
But I'd rather
run the show.
Well, I'd rather.
I don't know. I don't know if I can go through that again.
I'd rather give me give me somebody young and give him a shot. I'd way rather see Matt Barkley, no matter what you say about him, than Brian Hoyer.
I cover the team objectively. I don't care if they win or lose. But for the sake of my own health, I don't think I can go through 3-13 again.
I am worried about you, Adam.
I mean,
so there we go. So it might be number six.
I don't want, and I'm the biggest Jay Cutler supporter ever. I kind of want him gone just so I don't have to keep having this conversation with Mark Carmen.
What's the conversation? Like, exactly?
I'm being totally selfish about this and
don't be selfish.
She's real. She's Chicago. She's Robin Baumgarten. Watch Robin and the rest of the WGN morning news team weekdays 4 to 10 on Chicago's very own WGN-TV. Speaking of Mark Carmen, I have a question for him when we come back, a very personal question about his favorite college basketball team.
What?
720 WGN. Another few minutes here with you on the beat, a shortened show. As we go straight into Blackhawks hockey, tough loss last night after the bye week, and they have to go right back at it today in Buffalo, and they have a huge game Tuesday in Minnesota. I want to talk about that in a second, but real quick.
None of that makes any sense, by the way. You're going to give somebody 6 days off. Come back and play 3 out of 4. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Carm, this week, Northwestern, and I'm willing to call them your Northwestern Wildcats.
Please do.
You Iowa Hawkeye.
They're really Dave Ennett's Northwestern Wildcats.
They are. Is it weird to you? Is this a weird feeling? This week, the Cats go on the road to Illinois on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. They go on the road to Indiana on Saturday.
If you talk to management, can I do the show from Indiana next Saturday? I'd really like to do the show next
Saturday. I've never been there. I would love to do it.
I mean,
I'll go.
Can we get that done?
I'll go.
All right. Well, make the request.
I'll be here.
Is it weird? Is it a weird feeling that Northwestern is expected to win both of those games and should win both of those games?
Ooh. Yeah, I'm not there.
You don't agree?
I take one. Give me one. Let's just have one.
See, you need to embrace the target.
I do. I absolutely do. You're absolutely right. However,
Indiana is terrible. Illinois should have had no business winning that game in Evanston 2 weeks ago.
You know that listen, I love the Cats. They won at Wisconsin. That was massively impressive. They also nearly lost to Rutgers, who's been playing better as of late, but they nearly lost to Rutgers at home. I'm not counting W's going to Illinois.
Rutgers has played a lot of tough games this year.
Illinois just beat Iowa yesterday, too, by the way, on the road.
Yes.
Your point?
My point is that
it's not going to be easy.
Okay, Iowa's not a great team. That's
true. That
was
a subtle shot at Iowa.
No, and Iowa's terrible. But
although they got Jason Bohannon's little brother, who's lighting it up.
I haven't conditioned myself that Northwestern walking into Champaign is a lock win. I certainly haven't conditioned myself that Northwestern walking into Bloomington is a lock win either.
Well, it feels weird to say like that they should go into Bloomington and win that game, but I believe it, and I think they should believe it.
Well, they've been winning in Bloomington a lot lately, just compared to how little they've ever won there. They've beaten them a couple times now, so I think they should have confidence going into that game, and they are a better team. So you're right; they should win both those games. I'd still take a split.
Gosh, dude, his confidence is shaking a little.
All right, here it is: last four games at Illinois, at Indiana, mm-hmm. home against Michigan, home against Purdue. What should be their record, and then what will be their record?
They should win 3 out of 4.
I mean, I think that they should go 2-2, and I think they will go 2-2. I don't know how that slices out. Michigan's been playing well as of late. Purdue's very good. Those are two tough home games, and they're two games on the road. They should win 1 of 2 at home, 1 of 2 on the road. That would be my prediction. So what does that put them at? They're an 11-7 Big Ten team.
I think you're selling them short. I think they should go 3-1, and I think they will go 3-1. Here's why. I do think they lose one of the games at Illinois, at Indiana, home against Michigan. I think that last game, though, because if you do go 2-1 in those games, you're talking about senior day. You're talking about a hyped-up game against Purdue.
Dude, come on, man.
It's awesome.
Think about this.
I wonder, what's the schedule that Saturday? I'm going to throw this out there. without any knowledge of what the schedule is out there. I mean, Duke's probably playing North Carolina that day, I'm guessing. They usually do on either that Saturday or Sunday. What would College Game Day come to a Northwestern Purdue game?
I'm guessing not, but you never know. I mean, the Cats are going to be the biggest story in the NCAA tournament.
That's what I'm saying. It might be.
Especially when they make the run to the Sweet 16.
Purdue could be playing for a Big Ten title that day.
I said that too.
Sweet 16?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, my point is that last game is going to be so hyped up, I think they beat Purdue.
One thing about Northwestern right now, they're not a super deep team, and I do worry about fatigue being a factor, especially when you're saying you played Saturday night and you're coming back, you're playing Tuesday. That's a quick turnaround for the college game. Then you get the extra day off playing next Saturday at Indiana.
It's Illinois, dude.
Fatigue?
They lost at home to Illinois. They played terrible.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
These are youngsters, man.
They didn't
man.
Have Scotty Lindsey.
Bryant McIntosh last night was grabbing the jersey, asking for a blow with 8 minutes to go. He was exhausted. He got about a minute, then he came back and won the game.
Yeah, Mello Trimble didn't play the last 4.5 minutes today because he was tired, according to Mark Turgeon.
Well, there you go.
Too bad he wasn't tired against Northwestern on Wednesday because that dude was freaking out.
Well, there you go.
Funny how he wasn't tired when he was playing that. Great.
Yeah, he was unstoppable.
All right. Mention the Hawks. They're coming up next at Buffalo. Then Tuesday, I mean, you talk about three games in 4 days. They have to win that game against the Wild on Tuesday. I mean, they have to win that game if they want to have any chance in the division.
The separation is getting, I mean, you're talking about 9 points right now. The Blackhawks, let's be honest, they got some work to do here. Huge game today. I'm excited for the pregame show coming up in a matter of moments.
Yeah, Judd Surratt will have that. And then, of course, John Weideman and Troy Murray have the puck dropping a little after 5.
Good to see you guys.
You too.
Appreciate you.
I love you.
Love
I missed
you, guys.
You last week when you were here.
It's all good. It's all good. I got to hear your voices, hang out, you know.
All right.
You guys are the best.